G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, May 11. I'm John Barker. Joining me this week is Daniel Nuttall. Joel has got several important meetings, so we apologise for his absence, but we hope that the payoff will come later in the year with some exciting online stuff that Winning Post will be doing that Joel is working on as we speak. Daniel, and second week of the three Group 1 Saturdays at Morfordville. It's sort of the in-between week. There is the one major, and that is the South Australian Derby. Probably not a vintage field, as you'd say, but it's a big field and an open field.
Certainly is, Barks. Competitive race, as always, is the Derby. But look, massive day racing all around Australia. Every metropolitan major meeting in the four states, the four main states, I guess, with a stakes race, and one of the few weeks of the year that occurs. But yeah, looking forward to diving into it. Plenty of value to be found, I think.
All right, well, we start, we'll take you through the black type. There's not all that much at Morfordville on Saturday. Most of the card, or a chunk of the card, is taken up by the various series finals that they're running worth $100,000 each. But the first of the black type races is the first on the card, and that is race one, TAB SA Sires Produce Stakes. This one's going to be run on the Parks track. It's over 1,400 metres at Group 3 level and set weights.
Competitive race, plenty of these with chances. I've landed on the 8 here on top, though, Fasino. Last two runs behind Charlotte, who's a pretty smart type colt from the Archie Alexander yard, have been quite good up in Melbourne there, comes down to Adelaide. Look, at that last start, actually, on Anzac Day, crossed the line with Super Seth, who we know it's a bit of a wrap on. Thought represent good value, and Johnny Allen's been riding plenty of winners for Kieran Maher and David Eustace. So the 8 on top at an each-way price. In for second, you had me at Hello, one of the four McAvoy runners in the field. Big maiden winner last start. I think the 6, She Shall Fly, a little unlucky last time, and Florier Picker from the Hayes Dabbing Stable in with chances. But the 8 on top in the first at Morville.
Skip over now to the 6th, which is the Adelaide Galvanising Adelaide Guineas. This is a listed race over 1,600 for the 3-year-olds and again at level weights.
Hard to knock East India Man. I had to do it from the wide draw last time. Crossed and was able to burn the candle at both ends, if you like. Drawn poorly again, but look, I think he's the best horse in the race. I think his form prior to that last start, Morville, was very good. Should have won at Flemington 3 starts back. Just always been around the mark, consistent type. Think he can do it again, East India Man. In next is the 11, So We Are, a little bit of an each-way price. Thor was did a little bit of work last start, been given a little bit of a freshen up since then. So I think So We Are can run a good race. In for third, Sicaro for the informed stable, and Musselbrook as well for Damien Oliver, who of course had a big week last week of the two Group 1s. But yeah, the one East India Man on top in the Adelaide Guineas.
The big one is race 7, TAB South Australian Derby, 2,500 metres for 3-year-olds at set weights. As I mentioned, Group 1, it is bottom dollar Group 1 money at $500,000, and this is one of only four Group 1 derbies left in Australia, and those of us who do love our staying races and our staying Group 1s and our staying classics would be a little bit worried about the Group 1 status of this one. As I've written in Winning Post and Best Bets this week, this race had a golden era from 1991 to 2003, where that was won by a lot of future Group 1 winners, most notably, of course, future Melbourne Cup winner in Sub-Zero in 1992, Shiver's Revenge 91, who almost won the Melbourne Cup. You had Our Pompeii, won two Adelaide Cups back when Adelaide Cup was Group 1. You had Cheviot, Count Shivers was a good horse, won Group 1s. And most notably, Mummify, who, of course, went on to win a Caulfield Cup, a Singapore International, and several, I think, three other Group 1s. Since Mummify won in 2003, the last 15 winners, none of them has gone on to win a Group 1 race. 6 of them have not won a race at all after winning the SA Derby. I think another 5 have won non-stakes races, and the only horses that have gone on to win black type afterwards are the two fillies that have won it. That's Zarita and that ill-fated WA, one of a couple of years back.
You're pushing me there.
We went over and won the Perth Cup and then unfortunately died on the plane coming back. The name just escapes me at the moment. Then there was, of course, Rebel Raider, who had already won the Victoria Derby when he won the South Australian Derby. Then I think we did go on to win a Group 3 after that. And, of course, is a quality thoroughbred, as we're seeing from his stud career. And there was one other one who won a listed race. So, anyway, what my point is that, after all that, it's what they need is a top-quality winner. We actually had a few good runners. There was a Rutherford, who won this and then won the Queensland Derby shortly afterwards. And, of course, most notably, when I said Riven won this, didn't win this, ran second in this, and then won the Queensland Derby, and also running second, and it was Werther, who went on to be Hong Kong Horse of the Year. So can you see any future stars in this lineup, Daniel?
I think there's a couple. I think Chapada and Mr. Quickie, you know, they're both, you know, obviously all 3-year-olds are all, you know, shown a little bit. Chapada at the top level, hasn't won a Group 1, only won a Wangaratta Maiden, but has proven competitive in a derby. Probably could have won or should have won the Victorian Derby last preparation lead than luck in the spring, and was close behind the Autumn Sun and the Rosehill Guineas in a Group 1. So, look, I think all is lost, but in saying that, it's not on top for me, Chapada. It's in for third. I like Ridgewood Drive from the Friedman camp. I think just peaking at the right time. It was a terrific win at Flemington last week off the quick backup. And, as I said, just sort of peaking at the right time gives a good chance for Damien Thornton to record his first Group 1. A declaration of heart in next, Clayton Douglas, a chance to record his first Group 1 as well. Very good win here. Had the run at the track, winning the Group 3 Chairman's. Did it with a little bit of hand there. So those two on top for mine, Ridgewood Drive and Declaration of Heart. The Friedman pair, Chapada, as I mentioned, definitely good enough to win this. Just well, we see the rewind does mix his form. And Mr. Quickie's won 8 of 11, albeit in much inferior grey. This is a big step up, but look, can't knock winning form. But those are the four, I think, clearly for mine here. Ridgewood Drive on top of Declaration of Heart, Chapada and Mr. Quickie.
How far was the race that Mr. Quickie won last time?
It was over 2,000 metres.
Yeah, well, he, as our boss pointed out earlier in the week, Daniel, Tony Kneebone, Mr. Quickie by Seamus Award. So really, we've got him marked as a $3.80 favourite. He's the only one of Seamus Awards, only horse of Seamus Awards that has won beyond 1,800 metres so far. So interesting to see how he goes, 2,500 of the South Australian Derby. Now, just very quickly talk us through your best and value bets at Morfordville, which didn't come up in those black type races. You're early in the card. We can get some cash in races 2 and 3.
Yeah, look, I'm with the McAvoy runner again. Tantrat trusting race 2, the 5 there. I thought the run was very good at Oakbank behind Pretty Glass. I think this is a little easier field to what he saw that day. So Tantrat trusting, consistent horse. Probably should have a better record than what it reads at 3 wins of 16. But yeah, I think he can get the job done. In terms of a value, we go to race three. Burning the Clock. The winner, Werribee, was okay. $1.50 favourite. I like the form behind him, though. Thunderbolt 2's come out and won well at, I think it was Bendigo, during the week. And he lost to a horse 2 starts back, Regalo de Gattino, who came out and won well at Strathalbyn yesterday. This is a tougher race than what he's seen, but he's likely raced with a bit of upside. I think Burning the Clock for a stable of horse I quite enjoy backing in Will Clark. And so I think it's kind of about the 20-1 price. So happy to take that each way in race 3, number 11.
All righty, another big meeting at Durban. In fact, first of the Group 1s for the Queensland Carnival. And that, I speak of the Durban 10,000. That is the race that is called the Durban 10,000. It's more of the beat. It's, you know, I mean, I'm going to get over this at some stage. It's probably about the third year that this race has been called the Durban 10,000. But to me, you know, as someone who is all about history and precedence, this isn't the Durban 10,000. The Durban 10,000 is the race now called the Kingsford Smith Cup. But this one is now called the Durban 10,000. It used to be the BTC Cup. We'll get to that shortly, because we're going to start with race 4 at Doomben on Saturday, Sewers Queensland Day Stakes over the Doomben 10,000 trip, 1350 metres, the old Doomben 10,000 trip. This is a listed event for 3-year-olds.
Yeah, I think the best of the day in Doomben comes up in this one, Barks. Multaja, the 12 for the Godolphin Yard. She's a very talented filly. Looks to be one of the better placed horses, I thought, in the country on Saturday. She won a Group 3, the PJ Bell, in Sydney during the championships. And then for a close placing, another Group 3 last start. Just a set weights race. She carries a minimum of 55 kilos against her own age group in what is a clearly inferior race to what she's seen. So on top, the 12, clear, happy to take the even money of the $2 currently on offer. Vega 1, the danger, if any, was no match last time for a pretty good one. But I thought was running on well. Mashani Hustler in that Wheatwood, I think, is pretty good form, that Toowoomba Wheatwood. And Viral, that bigger odds in for fourth. But Multaja looks hard to beat, and happy to put in all my multis on the weekend.
Race 5 is another three-year-old race at Doomben on Saturday. This one for the Derby, and possibly Oaks in the case of Light Up the Room. Bound three-year-olds. It's the National Road Safety Week, Rough Habit Plate, 2,000 metres, level weights.
Yeah, two of these come out of the same race, the Group 3 Frank Packer at Randwick. That was Dealmaker and Purple Sector I'll speak of. Those two are on top, with the favourite currently Dealmaker on top of Purple Sector. I think he just would have finished a lot closer in that run if he had any sort of even luck, if you will. Borazon in next, the stable mate, won at 2,200 metres quite convincingly, two back, and then was very good dropping back to the mile. Not easy to do. So just missed a horse called the Candyman, who will hopefully get a run later on the day. Inform horse up there in Brizzy. Light Up the Room is one untested at the trip, but I think she's a filly with plenty of upside. So Dealmaker on top, the one of 4, 5, and 11.
Race 6 at Doomben on Saturday for the two-year-olds. Moen Chandon Champagne Classic, a Group 2 over 1,200 at Sid Waits.
Yeah, I'm with Sarzon here, the 4 from the Gay and Adrian stable. Look, I think based on the last start run at Randwick, I think 1,200 metres will certainly suit. It's a weird sort of run there. It started favourite to $1.95, and before the turn, she sort of was getting hard ridden, looked to be going backwards. But it sort of picked itself up, I guess, in the last 300 metres and really hit the line and pressed. I only just missed the winner there, which was Human Nature. The horse that ran third, Splintex, came out and ran them ragged on Metro level last Saturday. But I think what's even more impressive about Sarzon Barks is he beat Exhilarates on debut and then went and beat Kiyomichi next start at his first two starts, and then had a couple other starts while going for a spell. I think the form's all there. Just the barrier might need a bit of a good ride from Blake Shin, who's riding in very good form and making himself accustomed at these Queensland tracks over the last few weeks. So Sarzon, I think, on top in a difficult race. There's plenty of chances. Shooting Love, one has raced well for Ben Curry now in the Tony Gollan yard. Loses nothing there. Strasbourg for the Snowdens. Been freshened up since what was a pretty below average run in the Group 1. And I think other chances to the likes of 05 Glory and the unbeaten Jagged Edge. But number 4, race 6 on top in the Champagne Classic on top of 14, 3 and 10 in race 6.
Race 7 at Doomben on Saturday, Newington Farm Members Handicap listed event. It's a handicap, as the name would suggest, over 1,600.
Look, bit of a tough barrier for Plenciel, but love that Easter Cup win at Caulfield. Of course, the form's been Frank Furin coming out, win the Warrnambool Cup next start. Got the right jockey on here in Blake Shin, I mentioned earlier, and to overcome the awkward gate. Just the win of that was too strong to sort of ignore. This Tom Melbourne next, the non-winner, couldn't reach an all-the-way winner in Arcademus at Hawkesbury, runs here also. I thought the run was pretty good and does draw well here. Gem Song can't be ignored against the older horses, won arrogantly at Group 3 level last start. And Music Magnet, look, I was on him last start, I was sort of cheering a little prematurely at the pub on Saturday afternoon. I thought he'd got there, but Coldstone came and pipped him. But I thought he ran terrific and he can run well again here at the quick backup. But I like Plenciel on top, 4, 3, 10 and 1, race 7.
The big one is race 8, the TAB Doomben 10,000, Group 1, worth 800,000, over 1,200 metres, standard weight for age, seen by many as a match race between the top two, the front-running Nature Strip and the sweeping Osborne Bulls.
It's an interesting contest, isn't it? We've got Nature Strip, we know, terrific sprinter, very talented horse, win of 10 or 15, but up to 1,200 metres, is that a query? And drawn barrier 11 as well, how much work will we have to do to cross? I got the natural speed, obviously, we'll probably be able to cross relatively easy, but we'll see if anything kicks up inside him. Osborne Bulls will be the one that needs luck from the back, and look, 4 Group 1s and 4 seconds in each start. It's a pretty, I guess it is an impressive record, really, to manage 4 runner-up efforts and 4 Group 1s, but you need that win And will he get the luck when he needs it at Doomben? It's a race. It's a track you will need some luck. It's not as obviously big as the Eagle Farms of the world. So with a good ride, I'm happy to be with Osborne Balls at the price. I think the price discrepancy is too much. $3.80 to plays $2. So Osborne Balls on top of Nature Strips. Champagne Cuddles are next, another who deserves a Group 1. And Easy Eddie, who's been enormous in his past couple of starts. But yeah, Osborne Bulls on top for me in the Doomben 10,000.
The last at Doomben on Saturday's Race 9. Kieran, Chairman's Handicap 2,000 at Group 3 level.
Look, bit of a tough race this. I'm with the 7-hour Libretto. Comes over from Melbourne. Sorry, based in Melbourne, Graham Beck, but has last started at Randwick in a Group 3. She got too far back there. I thought the run was okay. The start prior, though, at Caulfield, just rounded up very easily. Very, very good Jamie Carr ride. She goes back on board, and she's in terrific form, as we know. And next is one of the New Zealand runners in Mongolian Conqueror. Thought was pretty good in a Group 2 last start at Ellerslie, the winner Endless Drum, who, of course, we've seen in Australia before. In for third, Lejeune, much tougher, but can't knock winning form. And 19, the Candyman, one of the good stories in Queensland, coming back from a potentially career-ending and a life-threatening injury with a shattered jaw, but he's won his last three since coming back. And yeah, if he can sneak into the field, he's definitely a chance. But 7-hour Libretto on top, 14, 9, and 19 in the last.
Well, as you mentioned, Daniel, your best was race 4, number 12, Multaja. Your value bet, though, comes up earlier in the program, and I speak of race 1, number 13, Mewstone Rock.
Sure does. The horse is just, you know, it's forever unlucky, this horse. You know, it could be, well, another case again, drawn wide here at Doomben, but the first set run was okay without being great, and so this is a harder race, so probably deserves to be the price of that, about 27-1, but some of his runs from last preparation were very good, and if she can get the breaks, she might be worth a sneaky each-way play in an open race to start the card.
Alrighty, Scone is the venue for New South Wales Metropolitan Racing on Saturday. Big Scone Carnival Friday, Saturday, all covered in your winning post, naturally enough. First of the black type races is race 3, Yarraman Park Woodlands Stakes for 2-year-old fillies over 1,100 metres.
Sorry, which race is this?
Race 3.
I'm looking at race 1. Yeah, I've got Single Blonde here on top. Barks. I really liked this filly's trial before the first up run, and then she started at a favourite, and look, it looked up the race one, but just outbobbed by another horse on the line there. Bit of a tough watch if you're on her. She did look home, but I think she can atone here for this and ensure Single Blonde. But the 5 and Just Field in next started good odds at a Musselbrook. It was a feature race at Musselbrook that day. I think it was Easter Monday. But these Snowdens with these juvenile runners, I thought $5 a bit of a steal, and she duly saluted. She bolted in there. She got on by much more, but it was looked after, I guess, on the line by the rider. The favourite, Libertini, can't be ignored. Last start one was very impressive, won by 3.5 there. And in for fourth, we have the 9 Egyptian Missile, who's been trialling quite well for Bjorn Baker. But 6 Single Blonde on top of 5, 1, and 9.
Over to race 5, Emirates Park Denise's Joy Stakes for 3-year-old fillies. This one over 1,100 metres. And listed event, barrier 18, not putting you off, number 2, Pretty in Pink.
No, top race this. Plenty of chance. Look, the reason we're pretty in Pink is I was quite keen on her throughout the last preparation. You know, she, without not much luck, she wasn't able to break through for a win there. But I thought she did run well. She's come back and her trials have been quite impressive to my eye. I know 18 is a bit of a tough task, but I think Tim Clark can hopefully get a good run and present late. She did win here last preparation, won the Woodlands, the race we just previewed last prep. So Pretty in Pink on top of 1, Madame Rouge. Been freshened up since last seen in a Group 3. Race 2 keenly that day. I think chances also to Prophet's Thumb and Wonder Babe for the Brad Widdop stable. But yeah, Pretty in Pink on top in the first leg of the quaddie, the 2.
Second leg of the quaddie is race 6, TAB Luskin Star Stakes. This is a 1,300 metre handicap, also a listed event. Fairly wide open affair. There's 13 left in it as we speak, and 7 of them are under $10.
Yeah, Brave Song, a horse that I do like backing. I think he's a very, very genuine racehorse. Ran a big race at double figure odds. Trekking was an informed galloper who does race here again in the numbers also. But I thought Brave Song can turn the tables there. In next, Intuition, another Godolphin runner, winner of a past 3, Rachel King in good form at the moment. And I think Trekking, another one in Grumble Race, and Redouble as well must be added in. A couple of others with chances as well. But I like the Three Brave Song on top of 8, 2 and 6.
Main race of the day at Scone on Saturday is race 7, Arrowfield Dark Jewel Classic, Group 3, 1400 for fillies and mares. And here we see your value bet going around, Daniel.
Yeah, pretty keen on Into the Abyss. Look, I know this form only says one win from 11 starts, but look, really should have just won, I think, last start at Randwick. Quite unlucky there, unless for point one of a length on that day. The start prior ran across the line with Multaja, who and I've given a big rap for at Brisbane earlier in the day. I think Into the Abyss with Glenn Schofield on board. Should have no excuses, really, and hopefully can break through for a deserved win. Hasn't won since her debut run. In next, I've got Mosh Trip, who I know colleague Joel Marshall's quite keen on. Just sort of forgive last start. Nothing really went right. A bit of a too bad to be true sort of run there. Of course, won here last year. Sabatiano in next. I think Pumpkin Pie won at bigger odds. We've been thrown to exotics. 11, as you said, my best each way player of the day on top of 6, 3 and 13.
Last at Scone on Saturday is race 8, the Coolmore Hortensia Stakes, 1100 metre listed event. And you're going for one here, Daniel, who we haven't seen since the 2017 Coolmore Stud Stakes at the Melbourne Cup Carnival, and I speak of number 13, Dracarys.
Yeah, plenty of class about him, Barks. I think, obviously, as you said, last seen not finishing too far off Merchant Navy in that Coolmore in 2017. Come back really well, I think, based on the trials. You know, it's obviously a bit of a query when it's first up for 18 or so months, but the trials impressed me, and I think, at a price, it's definitely worth having an each way player to find out whether he's come back well. In next, the 2, Viridine, consistent galloper from the Godolphin Yard. Probably should have just won last start. Victor M in next. Ben Looker and board, Jenny Graham. Port Macquarie runner, obviously, will have a lot of admirers. And in for 4th, I have the 11, Jungleized. Also got a bit of time for, but can be sometimes a little hard to catch. Anyway, 13 on top of 2, 3, 11 to round out the card.
Okay, as mentioned, your value bet was race 7, number 11, Into the Abyss. Just quickly talk us through your best on the card, which comes up earlier, race 2, number 1, High Opinion.
Yeah, High Opinion in race 2. Look, was a Wagga Cup last Friday. So off an 8-day backup, was beaten by Abdon, who I thought was probably a bit too good for it that day. But High Opinion did a plenty of work in the run. I like the fact the stayer coming on the quick backup. And the start prior at Doomben raced... just missed a horse called Winning Ways. The Winning Ways came out and ran a good race, beat, I think it was a key lead-up race to the Oaks at the Gold Coast last Saturday, beating the likes of Word for Word and fillies like that who I have plenty of time for. So the form around High Opinion is quite good. I think of the quick backup at $7 is a big price, but I'm happy to make him my best of the card at Scone.
Okay, Caulfield, the venue for Melbourne Racing on Saturday. And have you had a look at this meeting, Daniel? You're not in the tips panel for Winning Post.
Missed the cut this week in the Winning Post. But no, look, I haven't really had too much of a look. I think it is a good card. I think if I was going to give one tip, it'd be one at each way odds, Barks. Race 7 in the fillies race there, Delusions. First up for the Mara and Eustace Stable, previously with Darren Weir. Horses, I think, his jump outs and trials have been really, really nice. And I remember the first run at Swan Hill, it sat wide the whole day, but just still cantered in, ridden very arrogantly and won as such, and then went to town next start and sort of had no luck there. So given time since then, trials and jump outs, as I said, have been very good. I think at 14 to 1, definitely worth a couple of dollars each way on the 11 Delusions in race 7.
Yeah, well, that's coming up against my value bet at Caulfield, which got a very similar profile just on spec. The commoner was just certainly very impressive on debut. That's number 13. Comes back here, no weight after the claim for Lockie King, who's only got 52. Got a very nice barrier. Could be worth something each way. My best is earlier on the program, race 2, number 3, Like to Think So. Probably a little bit better, perhaps, than the record shows, and comes back in a benchmark 78 here, coming off an 8-length jump out win at Bendigo. Race 2, number 3, Like to Think So. There is a listed race on the Caulfield program, the Redoutes Choice Stakes, or in fact the Valet Redoutes Choice Stakes, with the recent passing of the Great Stallion. I've very much on spec gone with the one over from New Zealand in Banquo, number 4. Trialled very well over there, apparently working well at Flemington. Did you have any thoughts on that stakes race for the 2-year-olds, Daniel?
Not particularly. It was tough when there's unraced runners coming up It's a couple of race runs. I thought Memphis Rock at the top there is one is deserving of a win. No match for a smart one in Courier Up last time at Morpheville, but he races, he's raced well pretty much every start since his debut, and I think Memphis Rock might be worth a play in that race. But look, it's a tough race, and you can make a case for plenty more.
All right, Ascot, the venue for Perth racing on a Saturday. There is no black type there, but just very quickly, BJ Ryan's best, race 5, number 1, Daya Calder for Simon A. Miller, 3-kilo claim for Chloe Atsapati. Look, ran into Catherine Wheel, who's quite highly rated over there, 2 starts back and finished 3rd, but otherwise unbeaten from 3 starts this prep. And BJ feels that if she can get a clean getaway and land just behind the leaders, should be winning the race. That's race 5, number 1, Daya Calder. His value bet comes up earlier on the card. Race 2, number 8, Tonka Tough, in a wide open field. Very much looking to break a drought, Tonka Tough, because he's been beaten his last 16 starts, but has raced well all campaign and has been unlucky not to have saluted on a couple of occasions. Also down in weight, very fit, should give it a shake. That's race 2, number 8, Tonka Tough. In New Zealand, they are racing in Rotorua and New Plymouth. The Rotorua, you might find your guide, is also called Arawa Park. And there is a Group 3 weight for age race there. That is race 7, the Rotorua Stakes. But and in fact, that's where we see Joel's value bet, and that is race 7, number 8, Pretty to See. His best on the Rotorua program is race 5, number 4, Giovanni Canaletto. The other venue, New Plymouth. And Joel's best there is race 8, number 12, Tui Girl. His value bet comes up in the first. So we're bookending it there. His first is value bet is race 1, number 3, Catalyst, who that's a 2-year-old maiden, and coming up off a debut 7th. So it should be a bit of value about Catalyst if it can get up for a win or a place. As I mentioned, the Scone Carnival kicks off on Friday, and the big race then is race 7, the Daly Scone Cup, listed event over 1,600. It's worth $180,000. Tom Melvin's in that one as well, but Joel's selection is the Chris Lees trained race 7, number 7. Take it in turn, the Chris Lees trained import. That leaves us something to remind you to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. We've got all the form for Friday, we've got Cranbourne Friday night, we've got Saturday, and we've got 4 more meetings for you on Sunday, as well as fields for Monday and all your favourite features. And finally, our best $20 bet for the weekend. I am going to go with Caulfield Race 2, number 3, Like to Think So. Daniel?
We'll go 20 on the nose. Oh, I think Voltage is the best all week, but it's too short. So back out right. So I've got 20 on the nose, Scone, Race 2, number 1, High Opinion.
Okay, have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners, and we'll be back with Joel next Thursday on the Preview Podcast.